Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Expos. My guest today is Alan Collins. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Alan Collins. Alan started an organization a number of years back called Student Loan Justice, and he has been working tirelessly on the student loan debt crisis for over 10 years now. And I will be doing shows with him in which we talk about the presidential primaries and what it means for 46 million Americans who have student loans. So, Alan, tell us the latest, what's going on.
Well, yeah, I'm here in Iowa now, and we're pushing all of the presidential candidates to do two things. And maybe I, just for your benefit of your guests, I should maybe back up a little bit and say that, you know, the core of the student loan problem is that Congress removed the most fundamental consumer protections from the loans. So unlike every other type of loan in this country, student loans are uniquely stripped of bankruptcy protections, of statutes of limitations, of fair debt collection practices, and other protections. But it's really those first two that have made these loans predatory. You know, when the lenders don't have to worry about bankruptcy, and when there's no length of time, there's no statute of limitations, so they can hound the borrowers for the rest of their lives, this really gives them a license to steal, and it gives the colleges a license to raise their prices, and, you know, all the terrible things that we're seeing right now with the price of college and just the massive harm that's been doing to the country under this debt. So we have been, we're here in Iowa, we've been pushing all of the candidates to fight strongly for the return of bankruptcy protections to student loans. And so we're doing that in two ways. There's two bills right now, S-1414, H-R-2648, in the Senate and in the House that would do this. And I'm very happy to report that almost all of the remaining presidential candidates who are in the Senate have – no, in fact, all of the presidential candidates who are in the Senate have co-sponsored this legislation, and so we're very happy about that. But more to the point, I'm very, very happy to say that as of last week, Elizabeth Warren has made a pledge that as president, she would issue an executive order to the Department of Education to stop opposing bankruptcy filers on student loans in court. That's a really big deal. You know, Congress has proven that they really don't want to do anything about this issue for the past 15 years since I've been doing this. And so, you know, it's an executive order like what I just described that will really give people the certainty that they need to vote for one person or another. So last week, Elizabeth Warren made this pledge. About a month before that, Bernie Sanders agreed to make that pledge, although technically he hasn't actually made it in public yet. So we're hoping that he'll come out and make the pledge publicly soon. And so that's a good thing. And here's maybe a little breaking news. We've been pushing Joe Biden and his campaign to do exactly what I just described, and with very little success up to this point. But, you know, as of yesterday, I got an email from his campaign manager, and he assures me are giving a very serious consideration both to pushing for bankruptcy generally and also for this executive order that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren have already signed on to. So things are looking up. Thankfully, we have sort of a thinned out crowd now. At least here in Iowa, it would appear that, and I think nationally too, there's really only five viable candidates in the Democratic field right now. So that would be Bernie Sanders, who, by the way, is creeping up in the polls, and he's overtaken Joe Biden in most of the polls. And then, of course, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar. And I would maybe throw Andrew Yang in there too. He's at least still on the radar. And maybe along those lines, Tulsi Gabbard is still in there a little bit as well. But at least we can say now that two of the top three candidates have voiced strong support for the return of bankruptcy to student loans.
So you've been doing this for quite a while. What inspired you to start this group?
Well, you know, I had my own student loans, and what began as a fairly moderate loan amount, about $35,000-$37,000 for both undergraduate and graduate degrees. Shortly after September 11th, 2001, I was briefly unemployed, underemployed, sort of working in restaurants, that sort of thing. And while I tried to keep my loans in good stead, my loans were thrown into default. So what began as, you know, $30,000-something in loans very quickly exploded to over $100,000 in penalties and fees and increased interest and so forth. And it was then that I realized that something was horribly wrong with this lending system. So I started doing a lot of research, and what I found was just jaw-dropping. You know, the money that the lending industry like Sallie Mae and Consumer Bankers Association and others had plowed into Congress to get the most fundamental consumer protections removed from student loans, it was jaw-dropping. And the amount of money that these people were making and the familial benefits that family members and members of Congress were realizing, it was just disgusting. And so I took my research to 60 Minutes, wound up being featured top story on 60 Minutes, and it sort of snowballed from there. But you know what I found, Cynthia, is that there simply is no one in Washington, D.C. who is truly fighting for the students. You know, this is a massive cash machine for many, many people inside the Beltway. We currently owe $1.8 trillion in student loan debt. Interest alone on that is $100 billion a year, if not more. And believe me, that money is being funneled all over the place inside the Beltway. And so at the end of the day, the students are left holding the bag. And I just realized that somebody had to fight. And so here I am, lo and behold, 15 years later. And let me tell you, it was many, many lean, dark, lonely years trying to get Congress to move. But I'm very happy to say today that I finally see some very reasons to be very hopeful. I can really see the light at the end of the tunnel here.
So the debt right now is $1.8 trillion?
Well, yeah, it's probably actually even higher than that. I think the official rate is probably sitting around 1.6 or 1.7. But, you know, there's a lot of debt that does not get included in that official figure. You know, there's a lot of interest that they don't count. And there's also a lot of off-the-books loans. You know, a lot of people just go to the bank and get a draw on their home equity and pay for their kids' college that way. I mean, that's also, I would consider that to be college debt. So, you know, we're probably well over $2 trillion at this point. And that's, I mean, just fathom the insanity of that. You know, the entire national debt back when, say, Reagan or even George Bush I, the entire national debt back then was about $1 trillion. And now we owe double that in student loans. This is a lending system that has just become monstrous and monstrously predatory. You know, that's the key point that I think most people don't realize who don't have student loans, is that in the absence of bankruptcy protections and statute of limitations, this gives the lending companies carte blanche to, baffle, bamboozle the borrowers, jack up their loans legally, every legal way they can do it, or sometimes even illegally, to throw loans into default, to do everything they can to increase their bottom line. And that usually involves abusing the borrowers. So, and whether you're conservative or Democratic, you know, if you're a conservative, this is the worst big government lending monstrosity the nation and, in fact, the world has ever seen. And so thankfully, I can now say that certainly the Democratic presidential candidates are coming around. Congress seems to be coming around, and conservatives all over the place outside of Congress are definitely coming around. We just saw an op-ed yesterday or 2 days ago in the American Conservative, calling for the return of bankruptcy protections to student loans. And in the past 2 years, we've heard people from the Cato Institute, from the National Review, from USA Today, Bloomberg, people from some of the most conservative colleges in the country, like George Mason University. We've seen people from all these places come forward and say, all right, guys, enough is enough. We've got to, at a minimum, return bankruptcy protections to these loans. Because right now, Cynthia, I think we're at a critical juncture where if bankruptcy protections are not returned today, then the entire lending system is absolutely going to vanish into a mist of illegitimacy. You know, we're hearing people like Bernie Sanders call for full-on loan cancellation. And, you know, I can't lie, and I have to agree that it may very well be time for that. I mean, the numbers are just too crazy. And so I'm very excited to see what happens between now and November.
And that's why, you know, I'd like you and I to do a show like once a week and talk about, you know, your interaction with the politicians, what they're saying, what they're doing. I think it's very important for everybody who has student loans to know exactly what's going on politically with them.
Absolutely.
You know, Biden has a history of being really cozy to the banking industry. And you said that you talked with him or talked with his staff recently. I honestly think that he will side with the banking industry over the 46 million Americans. What do you think?
Well, you know, until yesterday, I would have completely agreed with you, Cynthia. You know, Joe Biden's got a terrible history. He was very responsible, in fact, for taking bankruptcy away from private student loans in 2005. Sallie Mae relocated their headquarters to Delaware shortly after that happened, I might add. And, you know, Albert Lord, the CEO of Sallie Mae, and Joe Biden did a press conference about this shoulder to shoulder on CNBC back when this happened. I've also heard rumors that Joe Biden plays golf with on Albert Lord's private luxury golf course and on and on and on and on. And, you know, even as recently as 2 weeks ago, I spoke to Joe Biden personally at one of his events, and he essentially shut me down on the bankruptcy question. And so as of 2 weeks ago, I was very pessimistic about Joe Biden. But, you know, getting a note from his campaign manager, as I did yesterday, saying that they are taking a very serious reconsideration on this issue, I think that bodes very well. So, you know, and as for all the candidates, this is a fluid environment. You know, they may have histories that are not good, but at the same time, they really need to win this election, or they want to anyhow. And only an idiot would completely turn their back on 55 million people with student loans in the country, 46 million who have loans, and over 9 million who are co-signed on them. I mean, that's almost enough people to elect a president outright. I mean, the numbers are just massive. And so I am guardedly hopeful about Joe Biden. But, you know, we'll see what unfolds in the coming weeks.
Right. We will see. You know, I was watching the Sunday morning programs this morning, and I was, you know, all the talk is impeachment. And, you know, Ukraine and the interactions of President Trump with the Ukrainian president and stuff. And it would have been so simple, in my opinion, if Donald Trump went on national TV and said, Joe Biden is the architect of taking away bankruptcy protections for people with student loans. There's the election right there. 46 million Americans. He didn't have to go through all this, you know, nonsense with Russia and Ukraine and stuff like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think this impeachment is being used more than anything as a vehicle for Congress and the president to do nothing. You know, this thing has sucked out all the air from the room over the past 4 to 5 months now. And what has Congress gotten done? Nothing. What has the president gotten done? I would say very little. So, and that's sad because, you know, those two bills that I mentioned, H.R. 2648, for example, in the House, that is currently sitting in Jerry Nadler's committee. I don't think Jerry Nadler has thought about anything other than impeachment for the past 4 months. And, you know, what a shame. What a great tragedy for those of us who need him to be doing his real work and not getting sucked into this palace intrigue. So I can only hope that people like Jerry Nadler will say, hey, this thing is about to backfire on us big time, because I suspect it's not just the student loan issue that they are neglecting. I think it's probably every issue.
So,
by the way, speaking of Donald Trump, I might add that, you know, Donald Trump could solve this problem tomorrow. Donald Trump could issue an executive order calling on the Department of Education and its contractors to stop opposing bankruptcy filers on student loans in court during bankruptcy proceedings. He could do this, and he could do this before the election, quite frankly. And if I were Donald Trump, I would be very concerned about this election. You know, I was in Washington, D.C. the day after the inauguration. I saw the 3-4 million people in the streets, far, far, far more than showed up for the inauguration. And, you know, and I also think there's something called Trump fatigue that is a real thing, where even moderate Republicans, it's just too exasperating. It's just they're tired. It's just too much Trump every day. And certainly people who don't care that much about politics, they would love for everything to go back to normal instead of having Trump in their face all day long, every day. So if I was Donald Trump, I would be extremely concerned about this next election. And the only issue that I can see that he could really change the game with is the student loan issue. I mean, it's really kind of the Wild West. It's not a very well-defined issue. It's not like, you know, healthcare where the battle lines are drawn, gun control where the battle lines are drawn, abortion, and so forth. This is a fluid issue. And, you know, if Donald Trump doesn't do something with it, I hate to guarantee things, but I am very, very quite certain that I don't think he can win this next election. I mean, 55 million people who tend to vote and who tend to lean liberal, although that's certainly not completely true. These people, they are losing sleep. Certainly 35 of the 55 million people out there are losing sleep over their loans, if not maybe even 40 million. So these people are student loan voters, whether the politicians realize it or not. And so, Donald Trump could do a lot in his favor to take this issue off the table for the next election by doing an executive order which forces bankruptcy back into the student loan universe.
Do you see this issue being addressed more in 2020 than in 2016?
Oh, absolutely. You know, back in 2016, none of the candidates really wanted to talk about student loans. And in fact, the only major party candidate we could have endorsed, well, really there was none. For like 2 seconds, there was George Bush, George Bush's brother, Jeb Bush, who had the return of bankruptcy to private student loans in his agenda. So we could give a very mild endorsement to him. But really, the only candidate that we could support in the last election was of the Green Party. So Hillary was out to lunch. Even Bernie was out to lunch. They never mentioned, they certainly never mentioned bankruptcy and student loans in the same sentence. So this time around, we have even some of the worst candidates as of today, like Joe Biden, calling for the return of bankruptcy, at least to private loans, in his agenda. So the issue has moved two steps forward in the public spotlight in the political debate. But again, you know, we've been burned so many times, Cynthia. I don't want to be popping any champagne corks at this point, because there are a million ways that this issue can still fall through the cracks.
So,
and by the way, if I could just
go ahead.
Well, I just want to add quickly that everybody out there listening to this with student loans needs to realize that this is their fight, and they should make this personal, and they should do everything in their power to push the House and Senate. So call their House reps and both of their senators, that's three people, do everything they can to make sure that they co-sponsor H.R. 2648 and S. 1414. But they also have to be pushing all of the presidential candidates, including President Trump, to champion the return of bankruptcy rights to student loans and, by executive order if necessary. And, you know, it's not that everybody wants to file for bankruptcy. Nobody does. And in fact, when bankruptcy is returned to student loans, very few people will have to file. But that's not the point. The point is that we have got to have the threat of bankruptcy back on our side, like it exists for every other type of loan. You know, the founding fathers felt that bankruptcy rights were so important, they called for bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war and raise an army and coin currency in the Constitution. And so it's not that, you know, anybody wants to file. Very few people will have to file, but everybody has got to have the right to file in order for this lending system to be made fair again. And that's, I hope people can understand that.
Now, what year did Biden do this?
Well, Biden's been in Congress for decades, and I would have to check the record, but I'm quite sure that he voted for the Higher Education Amendments of 1998, which took bankruptcy permanently away from federal student loans. But, you know, he was a prime sponsor of the 2005 bankruptcy bill that took bankruptcy protections away from private student loans. And so that was really sort of a 1-2 punch that enabled what we're seeing today. You know, after these after this legislation in 1998, 2005 were passed, we saw student loan debt skyrocket. I mean, in the year 2000, we owed maybe $100 billion in student loans. Well, today, we owe nearly $2 trillion. I don't know what the math on that is. That's like nearly 2,000% increase in student loan indebtedness. And we've seen the default rate skyrocket. You know, of all people walking around with student loans today, I guarantee you that if nothing is done, 60%, maybe more, maybe far more, maybe even 70% will wind up defaulting on their loans. You know, we already know that 2004 borrowers are defaulting about 40% of the time. So this lending system is a failed lending system, Cynthia, and I can say that very confidently at this point. This lending system is done. And, you know, if bankruptcy protections isn't restored at a minimum, then the entire lending system is simply going to vanish into a mist of illegitimacy quite soon. And that could get very ugly because, you know, the citizens, who knows what might happen, you know, if the lenders decide to get tough. And already we've seen the Department of Education run SWAT teams into people's homes in Texas for defaulted loans, believe it or not. We could see some very terrible social outcomes, like violence, like who knows what. So this election is very important. And if people care about student loans, they need to fight very hard to get at a minimum bankruptcy protections returned. You know, this is a fight that is not only their fight, but we are also fighting for tens of millions of people to follow in our footsteps. And if they can take bankruptcy away from any loan in this country, as they have done for student loans, then every loan in this country is vulnerable. You know, they could take bankruptcy away from medical debt, from credit card debt, from every loan or debt in this country if they really wanted to. And we cannot let that happen. That would spell, in my view, the end of the freedoms that our forefathers fought for.
Now, we just have a couple of minutes left. Closing thoughts, Alan.
Well, I would just urge everybody, you know, we're 9 days out before the first votes are cast here in Iowa. Wherever they may be, they really, really need to do two things. Push all of the presidential candidates, including Donald Trump, to fight for bankruptcy, and more importantly, pledge that as president, they would issue an executive order calling on the Department of Education and its contractors to stop opposing bankruptcy filers in court. And as important as that is, they need to push their member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor H.R. 2648. Do not take no for an answer. Do not be put off. Call and call and badger until you get a yes answer. And the same thing with both of their senators. You know, right now it would be absolutely wonderful. It would be a game changer if anybody listening to this broadcast could get a Republican senator to co-sponsor S-1414. That could very well be the first domino that leads to the end of the student loan problem. And that sounds overblown. That sounds exaggerated, but I am not exaggerating the stakes here. We are talking about $2 trillion stakes. The stakes are very high. And the very first Republican senator could very well do the job. And so for a little bit of effort, think about all the good that you can do out there if you're hearing this and if you care about student loan justice.
So
I would also
urge
people to come to our website, by the way. I don't plug myself nearly enough. Studentloanjustice.org. Make a donation. We survive only on donations from distressed student loan borrowers by and large. So we can certainly use the financial support. But more than that, what we need people out there doing is fighting with us. So go to the website and come to our Facebook group. Join your state chapter Facebook group, and you can see how to do all that from the website, studentloanjustice.org. And let's try and get this problem solved this year.
Alan, I look forward to talking with you next week, where you'll give us an update on what's going on in presidential politics. So you have been listening
to
Alan Collins of Student Loan Justice. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter, All Exits Closed. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you, Alan.
Hey.